Good afternoon. Thank you for coming to the Rancho Marietta Community Service District Special Board Meeting, March 30th, 2022 at 1400 or 2 o'clock p.m. Call it to order. Amelia, please.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Director Pohl.
Here.
Thank you. Welcome to the meeting.
I'm going to make a motion to adopt the agenda as is. Can I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Butler. Roll call vote. Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item number three, comments from the public. This is a special board meeting. So items are specific only to the agendized items. Those folks that wish to speak have 3 minutes. Does anybody care for public comment at this time? Mr. Hart. Careful on that microphone. It attacked you last time. Don't let it get the best of you.
Bend it over there.
There we go.
Good afternoon. I'll get right to the point. The board is in a difficult position concerning the need to raise all the money. We're well aware of that. There's really three items on here: water and sewer for infrastructure and inflation costs, $21 a month, two, waste management and their progressive woke law in California that's costing us $15 a month. The third item is security, and the covering the cost there is 25. The first two, water, sewer, waste management, will have to come out of the ratepayers' pockets. However, with the third, which is security, there are some options. In September of last year, I sent a letter to the board suggesting that there may be savings of approximately $500,000 by hiring a private security firm. That was from a proposal submitted to the board by ABA and a company that provides personnel for CSD. At the next board meeting, I submitted my worksheet estimates showing a total security cost of approximately $1 million. The board didn't appear to show any interest. If these numbers were correct, it would result in a savings per year and every year of approximately $1 million. Since these were my estimates, the only way to confirm these costs was to obtain a proposal or proposals from recognized private security firms. So that's what I did. In addition to that, a letter was sent to the Finance Committee outlining some of these savings that were possible. I then shared the proposals with the General Manager, and he requested I not move forward until the security survey was completed. And I agreed, but with an emphatic objection to the phraseology of the way the questions were asked. In my opinion, the entire survey is reduced to obtain a yes vote and hide the true facts concerning private security. And the examples would be the questions that are in the survey and the way they're listed. And you start at the very beginning and references private security. Doesn't really say anything until you get to the question number 9D. Earlier this year, California made more than 76,000 prisoners eligible for early parole, which means a lot more criminals are being released into the greater Sacramento area. This measure provides the fruits, or the funds rather, needed to combat crime to our community. At the very bottom, it says, the next one is G, it says, if this measure doesn't pass, the district will be forced to cut back on security officers and security patrols. In my opinion, this is a pure scare tactic, because what you're looking at as you move forward then to question number, this is 15. Outsourcing a private security company would result.
Thank you very much. Your 3 minutes is up, sir.
Go ahead and wrap up, Mr. Hart.
Okay. An estimated cost of savings of 20%. Where on earth did the 20% come from? I mean, the savings are much, much more than that, and yet that's what was presented to the members to vote on. In essence, what's being said here is that if you want to stay where you're at, it's going to cost you $25 a month more. If you go to private security, you're only going to save 20%. Well, the reality of it is that the savings are somewhere around $900,000 based on this absolute proposal. And this is rock solid from a recognized company that is providing security to a community that is almost identical to ours, which is 24/7 gate and armed patrol. In addition, they have a huge lake that they furnish water patrol, if we want to call it that. And they have 2,800 homes, 5,000 residences. This company has been providing this private security to them since 2016. So that is one of the others, and I would request the board to take, not to take any further action concerning security until you conduct a thorough evaluation of these facts concerning private security. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Anybody else from the public? Okay, moving on to item number.
Hold on, Tim.
I do believe we have another public comment. Your name?
Do you need John Snyder? Do you need an address?
Hi, John. Thank you.
I guess not.
Okay. Yes, sir.
My name is John Snyder. I've been a resident of Rancho Marietta since 1979. About 3 years ago, I took on the challenge of building a project out here, and I would tell you, since that property began construction, I've had 4 robberies at the site, 3 of which would qualify as grand theft. And of those 4, and I will say Sergeant Rick did a fabulous job in tracking down 2 of the robberies, which were local. They were residents of this community. And unfortunately, he could not share with me their names, but he told me, and I saw pictures, and I have cameras now at the site. And I'm referring to 14650 Kentova Way.
Got it.
I've got 23,000 square feet of multi.
Okay. Assuming that, right?
Yeah. So anyway, with that said, it gets as far as Sergeant Rick, and it just dies. And nothing happens. And I follow up with Sergeant Rick, and he said, well, I'm just waiting for the Sheriff's Department to get back to me, I don't think that's right. We all pay taxes. We all pay significant taxes. And the idea of not having any follow-up by CSD and more, specifically security, to at least allow me to go after these people privately, if I have to take them to small claims court to try and recapture the money I lost, I'm willing to do that. But if, I'll say this board doesn't want to pursue people within the community that we have actual pictures of and who they are, as they are stealing the materials, I don't think it's right. We've got to figure out how to put some teeth in our security to be able to have some type of a follow-up that we can at least try and allow me to get. At this point, it's all fenced and it's gone, I'm sure. But still, when you're losing $5,000 here and $4,500 there, that's a pretty significant amount of money. And particularly when you know they live in the community.
Right.
Okay. So I just want to point out that I'm a little disappointed that we haven't had a good follow-up with the Sheriff's Department to make sure that we get these things taken care of. I would tell you I have properties in the city of Sacramento, and I have to say that the detectives there, within 3 days, I have a response from them, and because I can provide video of a loss, They want that information, and they do a follow-up. So I don't know how we as a community get out there and fire these people up to say we need some attention out here.
So a couple of things, and then I'll have the security of the supervisor of security jump in. He and I have had this conversation numerous times. I've had this conversation with the sheriff or the candidates that's running for sheriff that used to live out here. He understands those concerns. As far as changing any teeth that we have, we're governed by law. It's going to stay that way, so we can't pursue from that standpoint. But specifically on the follow-up, Kelly and I have had some pretty good discussions on that and where it needs to be. So I don't know if you have more to add, Kelly.
No, I'm currently, well, yes. Sorry, I said no, but yes, I do. I'm currently working with Kathy Yee, and I've requested one of the things we had a coffee meeting about a month and a half ago, and one of the things I asked of him is that we really would like to have one representative on the sheriff's department that we can do follow-ups with for things like you're saying, because a lot of times they go to different sections, robbery, homicide, they have different sections and they have different timelines and property crimes, and it'd be nice to have one person we can go to with the report number to find out what status is happening. And that's one of the things I'm requesting and working with the director to have that one entity for that one reason, so we can get the closure, because we continually have our cameras are catching more and more people and returning that information over to the police department, both the CHP and the sheriffs. We give them that information, and a lot of times we're at their mercy to get that information of closure. And so that's one of the things I'm working on, so at least I can keep the board, everybody up to date. But that is one of my projects.
Okay, but I guess from my perspective, we're not at their mercy. They work for us.
When I say that we're at the criminal, they're doing the criminal prosecution.
I understand.
Cases.
And right. All I'm saying is, how do we as a group of individuals, because we all have properties in this community, we're all vulnerable just the way I have been, except,
oh, yeah.
I caught them, okay?
Right.
And nothing's being done. So how do we fix that? And to sit down and have a cup of coffee with a guy isn't going to do it. It's getting in their face, and you need to get this done.
Well, and the other issue is it's past the district. It's at the county DA, and it goes to the state attorney general's office and how everything flows down. So, again, when we've had DUIs out here, that would normally constitute an arrest and incarceration for a set number of hours. It hasn't happened. It was cited and released, and we move on. So I understand the frustration, and I'm not downplaying it. It's one of those. It's been a problem. We now have somebody in security that, because of his law enforcement background, is able to navigate what is the sheriff's department, right? And we have the same issue with the CHP. We turn information over, and they'll tell us thank you, and it's a wanted felon, and that's the last we hear of it. And so we can't put closure to it either at the district level or back to the people that were the victims of the crime. So I understand what you're saying. We're working on it. It's a tough one. It's we have to be down at the County Board of Supervisors talking to them to have them, because again, in my years of government, government taxes aren't fair. Government taxes collect money and then it's dispersed. And I feel for you, and I understand. Kelly, did you have something?
Yeah,
else?
Just on another note, about a week ago, we had a motorcycle that was stolen. What had happened was you had a young juvenile playing basketball outside where the gazebo area is, and he met a young lady in front of the gas station and said he wanted to buy a motorcycle. She goes, well, okay, this is how much it is. He goes, well, I want to ride it first. So what he did is he stole it, and he drove right back into the north area to his home. What he didn't realize is that we have cameras all over the place. We were able to go back, see this juvenile playing basketball, go across the street, steal the motorcycle. We even went a little further, and we found that his dad had dropped him off at the basketball court. And so we used that plate number. We went back. We were able to get a hold of CHP, and this last weekend they were able to recover the motorcycle and issue a citation to that young man. So that's an example of how we can help law enforcement and go forward and provide a little bit of closure. But at the same point, it took them a good 8 days to do a follow-up, and we almost immediately had the information. And it still took them 8 days to do that follow-up, but we were able to provide that, and that's the kind of direction the director
has given. And I agree, and the situations I had were identical to that.
Right.
The fact that you provided the information in less than 8 hours.
Correct.
Okay.
How about if I do this, sir? I will commit to you, because I am responsible to the security committee, I will in earnest move it a little bit higher up and put some more emphasis on it. And start a more formalized dialogue. It has to start, like he said, let me introduce, here it is. Sheriff's Department, just purely FYI, and no one gives a crap, they have roughly 300 transfers a month from the jail, main jail, patrol. So it's a rotational thing. We just have to get our foot in the door, and it's not a knock on the sheriff's warrant, they're just that large, right? If we can get our foot in the door, then we're in. And we've been knocking on that door. So my commitment to you is I will re-emphasize that, formalize that, and try and move it quicker. Does it help you? I don't know. But I understand the frustration. Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
Without the ability then, I guess part of my other frustration is we know who they are.
Right.
And I can't do a thing about it.
Right.
I mean, why can't I take him to small claims court if I knew the guy's name?
I
can't believe you'd be willing to give me that information very easily. But if the sheriff's department's not willing to follow up on it, how do we have, as a community,
right,
have some type of alternative to try and figure out how we can reach out to those? So I just throw that out.
I get it.
Talking about security, because, I mean,
you're spot on.
I responded to your survey, and in the survey, I wanted to make it perfectly clear that I think our security officers should have some teeth. They should have the ability to arrest. And when a juvenile does something as stupid as he did, should go after him. I mean, it's just, just nipping the...
Well, to that point, we had a minor issue last year. Oh, that's right. We were within 2 hours of no water in the district. So maybe it wasn't a minor issue. but we did go for full adjudication of that process. And so the board has given direction to staff where we have the statutory authority to do it, we in fact are doing those things. So I see the frustration. I understand it. That's the best I can commit to you right now.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time.
One more comment. You know, I can tell by the signs there's a couple of people that really want to be sheriff. We got 4,400 votes, give or take. And it seems like an opportunistic time to get involved in that, and like you, I've been here almost as long as you have. I've gone to these dog and pony shows they used to give once a year where they put on the shiny uniform and come out here with eight guys and a few ladies and basically tell us, well, you're not getting any patrol, but you're going to get us when you need us. Well, one of the things that was disturbing, and this is generally not my big issue, was that there was an incident at the training center, and it was between a student and an instructor, and there was some verbal exchange, and then the word gun was used. And after the word gun was used, it took them 45 minutes to get out here. So if you're not coming out for the word gun,
you're not coming out,
then when are you coming out?
Yeah, no, I get that.
You know, so I mean, it's good questions for these folks that are trying to get elected, and I don't know who in the community galvanizes around that. You know, they obviously want to come out here and talk to some people. Maybe there's an opportunity there to score some points.
And John, I totally agree with what you just said, because you've got 4,400 votes. If you can't get somebody's attention with 4,400 votes, there is no attention to get.
Yeah.
And I think as a community, we just have to tell these people, you don't want to give us the time, we'll take care of it ourselves. And that's the last thing they want us to do.
Oh, understand. Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
No,
Let's end it there. We're good. The last 30 seconds we'll edit from the official.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else? Public? Yes, sir.
And your name, sir?
Jay Solomon.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
I understand that we're here basically because of the funds that's needed for CSD. My question is, I've been out here for over 30 years, and I've seen the community grow a lot. And it's growing as I speak. I'm just curious, as the community has grown, where's all these funds going that CSD is collecting? Because it seems to me we should have plenty of funds. I mean,
understand, and that's a great question. And so what I would ask of you is, we're going to go through a presentation, and then if we didn't answer that question, please come back up. Because the short of it is, as development has come, it's paid for itself, it's in the ground. We bought the extra water treatment plant that we're still interfund borrowing on. And at the end of the day, prior boards did not set aside revenues enough to cover infrastructure costs for replacements all the way through. And so to that end, if we've had boards that were proud of themselves that they had no rate increase. No offense, I'm a couple days younger than you. In my short life, I've never seen anything stay the same and not go up. And so from a fiduciary standpoint, prior boards, let's just go over a decade, did not put the monies away. It's now fallen to here, good, bad, or indifferent. And we're trying to play a catch-up game for basically an infrastructure of $31 million. And we have less than 30% of funds to cover that replacement. I'm not saying it's criminal. It's far from it, but it just the prudence of how this community should have seen itself from when development was being done, putting the monies aside, and it's no different than, are we putting monies aside for a new fence, an air conditioner, car replacement, out of our own checkbook, right? Here at the community district, our job is a fiduciary one and not to kick it down the road. It got kicked to this board. This board is now going to address it. And really where the funds are coming in, and you'll see in this presentation, that our ability to do the infrastructure capital improvements is just not there. And now, shame on the board, right? A couple years ago when it was 1%, 2% to loan money, maybe we should have taken a bond out for the $18 million we need to get caught up. Maybe that would have put us money ahead. Being on the board, not even 4 years, Paul has done a great job, but we inherited a budgetary process and we couldn't even tell you what the reserve funds were. There was probably nobody more frustrated than Director Janko that we couldn't get the reserve studies. Careful what you wish for. We got the reserve studies and we now know that we're sitting at 30% and the minimum is 60. And now we have a 5-year plan. We talked about it last year's budget cycle, that it's going to be a 5-year plan. And this is year really two going into that 5 years. So come back if we don't answer your questions, please.
There's one number, Jay, that when you talk about growth and its relevance to where we are, from January 1st of 2011 until January 1st of 2021, we built exactly 100 houses. So when you think about what you're chasing, and Tim made reference to the numbers and the increases over time, when you look at comparable increases from like 2006 to 2016, what you're seeing is less than a 3% growth, okay, in incoming revenue from rate increases. And coupled with the fact that going forward in this 10-year period, you've really only had 100 houses to offset the increase in costs. I mean, these guys can tell you all day long what's happening to the price of chemicals. It's up four times, okay? So, and back when I was here in 2002 to 2006, okay, you were sitting here enjoying infrastructure that in those days was relatively new. Okay, since then we've subsequently gone through a $14 million water plant. And now the real problem that these guys are trying to evaluate is now that some of that sewer stuff, the stuff that's in the ground, is 40 and 50 years old, how do we make sure we have enough money to cover that? There's a project in the village that nobody's talking about that, you know, first we need to find out where the pipes go, okay, and then we'll figure out how we're going to fix them. So it's a bit of an overwhelming problem. He's right. We're eating it. I mean, we're eating it.
Just out of curiosity, how much does it cost to produce 1 million gallons of water without flooding?
You know what? That's a great question. I should know that off the top of my head. Can I get back down that one?
You can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Art? Anybody? Anybody at else? There's 30 seconds left to be used. Please, yes, sir.
Yes, Danny Carrillo.
Thanks, Danny. Good morning. Good afternoon. Right? Yeah. It's in the newspaper. I'll get it.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, I come to you as a person in the community for over four generations of my family here. I've been here for over 40 years, involved in the community, and I just wanted to say I'm very pleased with this board taking such a courageous stance. I know it's not popular raising any kind of fees, let alone a substantial one. But being currently on a pension, having four generations in this community, I speak for all of them that we are in favor of this. I being involved in the construction industry in the past, I know costs are way, way up, and I know that a lot of the fuel costs are going up and everything drives fuel. And I agree with Director Mabee that this has been kicked down the road for a long, long time, and that's why I'm very applaud the board of directors in taking the stance, even though it may not be a popular one. I see that if it's not taken, that I believe it's going to probably cost us more in the long run, piecemealing everything, and we're probably going to end up paying more money. So then, again, I applaud each and every one of you. I know that all you guys live in this community, and if your stance is to raise the fees, I know you also are going to be affected, so you must feel pretty strong about that, as I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. And by the way, 40 years, you don't look a day over 39. But.
Thank you. Checks in the mail.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to move on to item number 4, which I believe is Paula.
Yes. Thank you.
Are we going up there?
Yes. Okay. We're gonna view a presentation.
That was too cheap.
Just working on the pod.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Start doing that because I can't see him.
So can we watch Netflix instead?
I can't get a big one. Okay.
Can you see?
I have time for the biggest one I could get. Okay.
Okay.
Presentation. Next slide.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the order of discussion today is we're going to talk a little bit about the board goals that were set at the March 16th meeting. I wanted to include that in this. And at any time, if any of these goals change, let me know so I can adjust this accordingly. And also, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of opportunity to kind of review those to make sure that these are correct moving forward, if you wanted to add anything, et cetera. We're going to talk a little bit about the budget schedule, the process. Most importantly, the drivers and assumptions that went into the rate setting for this particular year. A little bit of recap on the reserves, the discussion that we had on Monday. And then a preview of the Prop 218 proposed rates, and then the recommendations. So for the next slide, the board goals that I have currently are reserves, in order of importance, reserves, security, Water Systems, Laguna Joaquin, CIA Ditch, and Granley's, Employee Education and Retention, Solid Waste, and Community Collaboration.
If I can add something, I'll open it up to the other board members. Just for everybody's edification here, the board a couple years ago took a different stance on the goals. When I first got on the board, or majority of us got on the board here, the goals were always set around January. And to me, it didn't make sense. As a governmental employee and as a governmental agency, our goals have to reflect our budget. That being said, our goals are now done this time of year, so it gives staff direction on where the budget's going to go. And so you can see we've had reserves on there the last couple of years, and that's our number one concern. So again, the board's goals are not lofty. They're not time-consuming. They are direction to staff to facilitate the fiscal responsibility of the board and of the district. So that's why we're talking about board goals. I don't know if any other board members want to answer, but that's why you have board goals in a budgetary workshop. Thank you. Go ahead, Paula.
Thank you. Next slide, please. So just a quick update to the budget schedule. We had originally anticipated the April 5th Finance Committee meeting to present the capital improvement plan, but based on the reserve study that was presented on Monday, March 28th, we have some fine-tuning to do in order to move some projects around to ensure that we can adhere to staff capacity and timing and funding for year one projects. So the plan is to move that to the Finance Committee with the CIP draft documents for May 3rd. Our board meeting with the proposed budget with CIP first reading is the same, May 18th, and then the adopted budget second reading and approval will continue with June 15th.
Okay, one second. Do we have, is the 18th our regular board meeting?
Yes, it
Amelia?
Is.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Moving on to the 22-23 budget process, this is just kind of a general overview of what goes into budgeting. We currently use a blended zero-based budgeting approach, which is basically we take every fund and individual line item down to zero and then build the budget based on that. And so we look at prior year's assumptions, prior year's actuals. We look at current year increases, decreases. We look at everything from the bottom up. And that's how we determine what our budget is. We currently look at needs and projects to include in the new fiscal year, so we're looking at current plus future. We eliminate one-time expenditures and completed contracts from projected expenses. We look at ongoing expenditures for market or industry increases. This has a significant impact on this next fiscal year with the inflationary adjustments that we've seen over the last 6 months, and we continue to see moving into the near future. And also one of the critical factors is salaries and benefit assumptions from PERS and step increases due to the MOUs. Department managers typically go through their respective funds and work with myself and the general manager, talk about the budgetary needs, level of service, considerations, et cetera, and this is how we put together the budget. One of the things that I want to highlight that went into this fiscal year 22-23 budget considerations, we have several problem areas that we needed to incorporate into our assumptions. We have uncertain growth trends. We have aging infrastructure, as we talked about on Monday. The fluctuating revenues, as in the case with COVID, for a period of time, we were no longer allowed to assess late fees and penalties. I believe it was for 18 months. We've now gone back to assessing those late fees. We are initiating the water shutoffs and so on, but there's those fluctuations. We have, I believe it's 150 residents now who are still past due on their bills. So those are the things that we need to take into consideration. Additionally, we have increasing O&M costs. Prices have risen 20%+ over the last 6 months in certain areas, and we have no ability to foresee any stabilization or decline in inflation at this point, despite the amount of research that I've done in the last few weeks. Again, we have price elasticity that we have to take into consideration. So with declining household usage, combined with low tolerance for rate increases, the usage goes down, our revenues go down, then we have to accommodate with rate increases to cover our cost of doing business.
I understand.
So, yes.
Just as it relates to PERS, is that a static? Do they set the amount?
It is not static. We have, every year, PERS releases actuarial assumptions, and they released ours in January. We have unfunded accrued liability increased, and I'll get into a little bit of, I'll get into that a little bit later on. But even though the rates may go down, that doesn't mean that what we owe PERS decreases.
Okay.
So, and I'll talk a little bit about that later as we move on. So, and then other things that are considered in the rate setting process of problem areas or environmental conditions, areas of concern, social responsibility, you know, fairness and policy and the application of that, how we handle drought tolerance, things of that nature. Next slide, please. So moving forward, the first budget draft presented today identifies the maximum cost of the district operations. This is required by Prop 218. It's provided 45 days prior to the public hearing, which will be held May 18th. And again, the public is invited to address the board regarding budget ideas, questions, or concerns. If rate decreases occur, all adjusted rates will be presented for the June adoption, and then the formal rate increase and fiscal year 22-23 adoption is scheduled for June 26th of 2022. Next slide. So for revenues, our budget drivers and assumptions, again, is the water consumption is expected to decrease. This is the price elasticity that I referred to a little bit earlier. There are some new state restrictions. We are not required at this point any mandated reduction in usage. The governor, on, I believe on the 29th, issued restrictions for
commercial.
It's really minimal. It's no sprinklers in the gutter. It's commercial properties. No watering after 48 hours after a rainfall. Very, very limited restrictions, but that's not to say that we aren't going to see a 15-20% reduction mandate coming down depending on summer months and what the future looks like. Also, Sacramento County property tax is projected to increase by 6%. Solid waste franchise fee increased from $2 to $2.75. And again, proposed rate increase of 2% for drainage security, that is very static.
Paula?
Yes, ma'am.
As far as the property tax is considered, we do get a very, very 0.1% of the property tax back from the county, but the county keeps the rest of it. And right now, what we're using that for is to supplement security.
Correct.
Almost all of it.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and a little bit more to speak to the property taxes. It really doesn't. It's a drop in the bucket. The increase that we're expecting to see is directly related to the home sales. Once the homes are reassessed, when they sell at a higher price, then we collect a slightly larger amount. But it is, you're correct, it's 0.1% is the revenue that we see. Any other questions at this time? Nope. Okay.
Please continue.
So expenditures, I'm probably going to go a little bit more detail in this PERS to address your question, Linda. Our unfunded accrued liability payment minimum increased by 13%. And this is something that we have to pay. This is not something that we can kick down the road. This is our minimum amount due to PERS for our unfunded accrued liability payments. It increased from $3.9 million to $4.3 million. And we will continue to see a rise in this cost if we continue to pay the minimum requirement annually. You know, typically, one of the agencies that I used to work for would set aside an additional 3-5% annually to pay down their unfunded liability. There is a discounted rate that you will receive if you pay down your unfunded liability, including your minimum. But because we are only paying the minimum amount due annually, we are not able to take advantage of that discounted rate. So that's something that should be taken into consideration for future years.
Right. We do get a discount because we make a lump sum payment to PERS.
It's a minimal, but there's an additional, yeah. if we pay above.
Have you got a round number? I mean, if we had decided to do that today, what kind of dollars are we looking at?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I would have to look at that.
Is it like a dump truck full of money, or is it a Civic full of money?
It might be a Cadillac, maybe.
I get it now.
Yeah. But it's still worth it, because every penny counts,
right.
Really.
Right, okay.
So the OPEB budget, we increased it from $150,000 to $185,000 again. Right. OPEB is our other post-employment benefits, and this is directly related to our retiree costs, and that's also increased as well. Our overall annual wages experienced an increase of 14%. Some of this has to do with the MOU adjustment. We have also hired new employees at higher rates of pay because the market is very tight, and inflation has created a bit of an issue with salaries. It becomes one of those things where it costs more to live, therefore people are expecting more in their pay to offset those costs. And, you know, we certainly want to hire the best and the brightest. And, you know, we have some staffing that we want to make sure that we keep them for a long period of time.
Right. The other issue is we actually filled vacant positions.
Correct.
And that's where a big chunk of it came, because we were using temps.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Continue on.
Yes, thank you. Also, overall benefits costs increased 12%. These are directly related to PERS increases. Increase will go up in January of 2023. And the GSRMA, which is our Golden State Risk Management Association, they increased 21%. The general liability increase was 17% alone, which was the $54,176 annually, and workers' compensation increased 10% at $16,607. We're still funding the cost of prior workers' compensation claims, and general liability is just increased overall, not due to anything in relation to districts' actions. It's more so because the cost of property replacement is up, the cost of coverage is up. It's just one of those
cost of doing business.
Yes. And so for the total for that increase, so last year, GSRMA overall combined between general liability and workers' compensation was a total of $354,627. This year, it increased by $70,000 to $425,411. And so it's something to be mindful of is, not only are our operations and maintenance costs increasing, but the other costs associated with doing business are increasing as well. So other factors, this is pretty generic.
Hold on one second.
Yes.
Go ahead.
John Winston.
Yes.
On our general liability, what is our deductible?
$250,000. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right, go ahead.
Yes. So just some other general factors that went into the expenditure budget drivers and assumptions. You know, obviously high inflation is affecting everybody. It's creating significant costs within water, sewer, and security. Water and sewer especially, the cost of chemicals has quadrupled. A lot of our, I believe Mike Fritchie discussed this Monday during the reserve meeting, the cost of piping has quadrupled as well. You know, the cost of emergency repairs, labor costs have grown exponentially just in the last 6 months. And these are costs that we hadn't anticipated in 21-22. We're expecting these and anticipating these to stay within that 10 to 20% increase for 22-23, knowing that there may be some additional unanticipated inflationary rise cost rising in the next fiscal year. Another thing is our SMUD costs are increasing. We do have some decreases. Administration staff, we no longer need to hire temporary staffing, so we've eliminated that expense. We did include minimal for temporary part-time intern assistance. We did keep the security, water, sewer, utility temp worker as well, but we've maintained that position for many years, and there's still a need for that position. Routine maintenance repair, we hope to stabilize this due to reprioritization of projects. This is another reason why we're planning on pushing the CIP draft documents to the May Finance Committee meeting. And then our permit fees are remaining stable.
Did we keep the trainee position?
I'm sorry, which position?
The trainee position. We've been hiring the college student.
Yeah,
the interns, yes.
The interns.
Yes. That's the one position that we did keep, was the intern position.
The other point, and I don't know if it's going to be in here, I didn't see it, Paula, but just for everybody's edification, staff also took in development factors on the potential of houses. Again, here's the pie. You're trying to split it up between 2,600 and some odd residents. If you add what staff projects after talking to the county developers, home builders, another 100 homes somewhere in that neighborhood, it dilutes it out. But nonetheless, those are still some assumptions and factors that staff has used to get to the numbers that we're at. Go ahead, Paula, right. Please.
Thank you very much. So moving on, so we'll talk a little bit about the proposed budget, and I'll walk through the summary budgets for these. Can you bring up the administration, please?
The performance.
The performance, please. Yes, yes, thank you.
Please hold. And administration, I can make that bigger.
Are you going to this, Paul?
Yes. Okay. Make it bigger.
Can you see it? No? Budget presentation. I'm on page 10 of the presentation. Okay.
You want to be on 11.
We center that a little bit.
Bigger. Okay.
Bigger.
So to walk everybody through this, this is a summarized version of the projected budget, proposed budget for fiscal year 22-23. We are showing a slight increase in the property tax revenues. Again, this is based solely on the calculations on the number of homes that are being sold, reassessments due to home sales, and so on. We have a little bit of interest income coming in, and then our other revenues are primarily made up of property loss reimbursements and title transfer fees. And depending upon how many homes are sold, this title transfer fee number fluctuates year over year. Moving on to the expenditures, our salaries include clerical staffing, director stipends, and there's also temporary staffing rolled up into this, but is not included in this year. This year is primarily administration staff, and includes all of the MOU adjustments, as well as step increases for other staffing. Benefits, this is a summarized amount rolled up with the PERS payments, the retiree payments, any additional pays for administration staff, payroll taxes. One of the things that we did was reallocate the general liability insurance to other funds. The administration fund as a whole is reallocated to the enterprise funds at the end of the fiscal year. And one of the things that really didn't make sense to me is that we were allocating directly the workers' compensation to each one of the funds, but not general liabilities. So this is why this looks about $200,000 less is, yeah, because that amount was shifted directly into the funds. And so you'll see a little bit of an increase when you see the administration expenditures in the other enterprise funds. But this is why you'll see that $200,000 decrease. And the administration allocation will look less moving forward. Moving on to professional services, one of the things that is included in here that is new this year is the election costs. We're projecting about $12,000 with a consultant to assist us with the security with a security tax measure. We're funding that through admin. The remainder of the portion, the actual tax measure election costs, will be within the security, and we'll talk about that more when we get there. This also includes our IT contracts, our audit services, our legal services, and other miscellaneous services that we normally contract through each year regularly. Materials and supplies is a culmination of office supplies, postage, copy machine lease, telephones, anything outside of the scope of maintenance and operations. And then moving forward to our transfers out. So the property tax subsidizes drainage and security. And for this year, we're showing drainage has a need of $70,446 of subsidy. And security, we're increasing it by 30% to $588,271. So with a reduction of the GSRMA general liability being reallocated out to the enterprise funds, the total expenditures for administration is $1.9 million, leaving us with approximately $159,000 in property tax revenue at the end of the fiscal year. And that we can, the board can determine where they want to reallocate that once we get to that.
So say the security aspect of the property tax allocation, that number again?
$588,271.
As opposed to last year was
452 by 16.
Do you want to go on to the next pro forma? You want to stay?
Yes, okay. We can go with water unless anyone has any questions.
I don't see any. I don't see anything from the board. Please continue.
Okay. So the water fund, residential water sales, commercial water sales. These are the projected revenues. They pretty much speak for themselves, late fees and penalties as well. The other sales comes from project charges. And then our interest income comes from Lathan Camp, which is our local area investment fund. Other revenues come from meter installations, inspection fees, other minor revenues that we bill out for receivables throughout the year for various things. Really nominal at that, but it is included in this roll up. So we're looking at our total revenue of $2.8 million for the water fund. Moving forward to the expenditures, we have it broken out through administration, source of supply, water treatment, and transmission and delivery. And within these sections house salaries and benefits for all of our staff for water and utilities. And it's broken out based on a formula that we use to determine the amount of time that the staff spend within each of these areas. One of the things that we have in here is the consulting cost for professional services. We increase general supplies for pretty much all of the four departments within water based on the assumptions that were discussed earlier. Inflation and increased costs of utilities. And then also the other expenses in administration, as you can see here, the insurance is the workers' compensation and general liability increased cost. This, again, was that reallocation from the administration fund. So this is their portion, the water fund's portion of that.
Leaving security out of the mix, water is obviously the single most expensive thing that we do.
Correct.
And I guess I was just noticing that it's not one thing. It's a variety of different topics and mm-hmm. subjects that that we have to work with every year. So it's not a surprise, I guess, that the water would be.
Travis, I don't know if you know it off the top of your head, but I'll give you a little bit of time to think about it. What's the total gallonage we rotate through our system a year? Just think about it, and then you write down a number, I'll write down a number, and
meet in the middle?
Yeah. Go ahead, Paula, please.
Okay. So, again, scrolling down to the bottom, you'll see the projected administration allocation has gone down. current fiscal year, we project it to be about slightly over $800,000. But with the movement of the general liability into the water fund, it's reduced it to $727,923. This brings us to slightly over $14,000 surplus at the end of the year. Again, the net annual activity for this fund is ultimately dependent upon rate paying, whether we receive all of our anticipated revenues from both residential and commercial. So there is that fluctuation. But ultimately, we wanted to try and get it to maintain existing levels of service while not overly increasing the rates to cause an extreme surplus. And so this is kind of where we're at.
Very good.
Paula, do you have a number if we get hit with some state mandate, say 15% or 20%,
mm-hmm.
Does all of that come out of the variable rate, or do you think that digs in beyond that? I mean, so is there a way to measure what that impact is?
We would have to do some analysis to determine what that impact would be, but I would just assume that, you know, again, this is based on a level of assumption of usage for 1426 per ratepayer for behind the gate. So we would have to do some significant analysis.
Because that's...
What was that number used per resident?
The 1426.
Right. This kind of went to your question, Randy, a few board meetings ago about if we're saving water, that's where a revenue source comes in. It all of a sudden costs more. So,
correct.
I know that there were some assumptions used on the when we have to conserve, what does that look like type of thing. So,
right. Okay. It's that price elasticity. We'll probably refer to that a lot throughout this presentation. You know, It's the kind of the happy medium between what ratepayers pay versus what they actually use versus what we anticipate. So,
it appears though that the governor is not headed towards mandatory reductions at this time. I listened to him the other day, mm-hmm. and I think he's shying away from that. One question: project charges under revenue, is that charges to the for the water usage to move the dirt on the development?
I believe this is the administrative overhead charges that we have for project costs for development, yes.
Is there any extra water gets used as a result of development? I mean, do we just measure it as just rates? Are they paying a card rate for that water?
Are you referring to the water that they use to keep the...
Yeah, right.
I believe we either have it metered or it's
a... metered and it's a separate rate.
And it's a separate rate.
So it's just naturally built into the
system. Yes.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a question. All right. I think we're good. Paula, continue on, please.
Okay, on to sewer. And I apologize for everybody. Wastewater is terminology I'm used to, and I know everybody's used to sewer here. So there's any confusion, wastewater is sewer, and I'll correct that moving forward.
Wastewater sounds...
I like wastewater, personally.
Yeah.
But it sounds a little classier.
That wasn't the word I was looking for.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. I'm trying.
It flows downhill, too.
So for our residential and commercial, we've gone up slightly. This is mostly the base rate charges, as we'll see when we go over the sample bills. Late fees and penalties, we're keeping that static at $18,000. There's really no way to gauge what we anticipate in bringing in. We actually have brought in about $36,000 in late fees currently for this fiscal year, but that doesn't mean that translates into next fiscal year as well. You know, we want our ratepayers to pay timely and not get into a position where we need to charge late fees and penalties. So I'm just keeping that static. Again, other sales and interest income and other revenues come from nominal locations, just miscellaneous. These are just minor projections. We may not even see those revenues at all, depending on what comes through. So moving forward with sewer is similar to water in that it has separate departments within this fund. We have administration, we have collection, we have transmission and delivery. And each of these are separate functions within the sewer fund. And so we've apportioned the salaries and benefits and materials and supplies costs across these departments like we've done with water. We also do this within security as well. Basically, these have slight increases due to inflation. Through the administration fund, we also have the other expenses covers their portion of the general liability cost that was reallocated from administration. And again, slight increases in maintenance and repairs, materials and supplies. We see slight increases in the salaries and benefits as well to cover the PERS medical costs as well as our OPEB payments and the annual PERS payment we need to make. And then our administration allocation has gone down again due to the workers' compensation general liability adjustments. We are looking at rounding this fiscal year out with a $532,846 in administration allocation to the sewer fund. Next year, we're projecting that to be slightly over $484,000. Our total expenditures are at $1.87 million rounded up. This is fairly consistent and just slightly higher than what we're projecting to end this current fiscal year with. And again, in adjusting the rates, we wanted to maintain existing level of service while taking into consideration the price elasticity with regards to revenues and collections. And so we're projected to bring in potentially $1,600 extra at the end of the fiscal year.
All right, thank you.
Excuse me. Moving on to drainage. Drainage is a 2% increase over current year for both residential and commercial. We don't have any interest income or other revenues associated with the drainage fund. Because of the increased costs of salary allocations and benefits, we're looking at $70,446 of property tax subsidy from the administration fund to cover the cost of expenditures. So the combination of the 2% Measure K increase plus the transfers brings the total revenues for drainage to $329,646. Salaries and benefits, again, have increased slightly. And the administration allocation went down slightly to $81,865. This brings our total expenditures to $329,646, leaving us with a zero net annual activity for this fund.
And this was drainage, right?
This was drainage, yes. Moving on to solid waste, there's a lot of changes within this particular fund. We had some significant proposed increases from Cal Waste to include the organics charge. I'll talk a little bit about these rate increases when we get there. The solid waste revenues are coming in about $1,120,000. And I did separate out the franchise fees from the residential revenues to other revenues. These are the franchise fees, what we keep for administering the program on behalf of Cal Waste. And then the solid waste revenues are paid directly to Cal Waste. Correct. So we're essentially a pass-through. So we charge what they charge, and then we have the minimal franchise fee on top. professional services, we have general liability workers' compensation insurance coverage. And the other expenses are the county surcharge that they charge us for the landfill usage. And administration expenses just under $39,000, down from $42,000. Leaving our total expenditures to $1.2 million and our net annual activity of $2,500. One of the things with the Cal Waste contract that's included in this is the organics. SB 1383 requires that we separate our organic waste from our regular waste, green waste, and recycling. And the information that Cal Waste provided us, actually, I believe it was last Friday, was that they're planning on charging us $4 effective January 1st of 2023. So we'll have 6 months of none of this fee, and then we'll start, excuse me, we'll start collecting that fee January 1st.
So one of the effects of changing the insurance from the administration budget to charging the individual funds was that since there is no labor activity on solid waste, we actually have a lesser administration expense there than what it was previously?
It's a less administration expense for all of the funds, primarily because it would have been allocated
But since this one doesn't have any of that allocated to it, correct?
Yes.
Then what would have gone to here ended up being allocated to the other funds?
There's a 1.9% of that that's allocated across the drainage fund. So there is a slight charge that we charge drainage, but yeah, it's everything else is allocated out to the rest of the funds.
Continue on, please.
Okay, thank you. If my voice allows, sorry. So going back to the organics, the SB 1383, that fee itself will not be charged until after January 1st of 2023. So the revenues here are based on 6 months of increases on all of the rest of the rates, and then 6 months of adding the organics waste rate.
Second half of the fiscal year.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct. Anybody have any other questions on solid waste before we move on?
I don't see any.
Okay, moving on to security. Security is going to be a little painful, so I'm sure I'll be fielding a lot of questions after this. So, again, Measure J only allows a 2% increase, so that is the residential sales and commercial sales based on existing customers and the 2% increase. Late fees and penalties, again, you know, we want to get in a pattern of having our residents pay their bills on time, so we don't have to charge those late fees. Those also vary year over year, so that's slightly higher than what we had budgeted for last year, but we anticipate that coming in around as projected. The permit fees, these are for the barcodes and other permits. Again, interest income is Lafin Camp, and other revenues come from the title transfer fees. The transfer in from property tax is increased by 30% to help minimize the impact of the increased expenditures. Right now, taking $588,000 from property taxes to help offset the deficit allows the administration fund a little bit over $150,000 to allow the board to allocate that at the end of the fiscal year to various reserve accounts, or if the board chooses to allocate it directly to security. You know, obviously, depending on the outcome of the tax measure, we won't know how those funds will be used or if we need to use them.
But we're not reserving for this.
No.
No. And we don't reserve for drainage either?
No.
Okay.
When we get through this year, what I'd really like, and Marty talked about a little bit at the last meeting, is, and especially before you convert and establish your chart of accounts and all the stuff you're going to do for the new system, we need to have a drainage discussion.
Yes.
About Measure K.
Agreed.
You know, we're relieved of the mandate that we have mm-hmm. to tax drainage. So I'd like to see us see if we can't figure a way to get out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And for the amount of money, the amount of work we do to focus attention on that one small amount of money, a small percentage of our overall budget, there's got to be a more efficient way to use it. So, you know, mm-hmm. we got a lot of stuff to do first, but during the year, so we get to this point next year, let's see if we can talk about that.
Absolutely. So again, with security, it's split into different departments. We have administration, security gate, and then security patrol. The other expenses to note in administration, there's $150,000 that's set aside for the tax measure election costs. These are costs that we would pay the county to get this on the tax on the ballot. A lot of other expenses are go into that that tax measure, and so it's going to be funded directly through security. One of the other increases here is benefits costs, prepaid insurance with workers' compensation, and general liability. You'll see that in administration as well. You'll see the offset with the administration allocation being reduced again. One of the things that to note with both gate and patrol, the increased costs in the security salaries is due to the when the board of
can you scroll down just a skosh? It's a technical term.
When the board approved the gate and patrol 1 and 2 in October,
mm-hmm.
We've begun the process of evaluating staff and determining who's moving into a 1 or a 2 and at what level. And so that's taken into consideration with these salary projections, as well as the 3.5% in January of 2023 for the MOU increase.
Paula, where is that amount, again, the election amount, so that this security poll and...
The 150,000 is found in administration and other expenses. It's actually its own line item within the budget, but it's just rolled up into other expenses.
$151,000.
Yes.
We can say that again.
Yes. It's not cheap to put something on the ballot.
But it's not just solely election costs. Actually, if we run an election in November, we get the benefit of a rather small add-on. If we had a special election, it's an outrageous number.
No, it's double, triple
80,000, I think. But there are also the other inherent costs of formulating the bond and the legal assistance and
correct.
The marketing and everything else that has to
correct.
Go in. That's what we're looking at here.
That's included in the 150, yes.
Yeah, okay. All roll-up
yeah.
costs.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of things that go into putting something on the ballot, and so that's taken into consideration in that 150. So moving on to security gate and patrol, we do have minimal ABA augmentation budgeted in here. We are currently fully staffed. We're almost fully staffed, 100% within security, so we don't anticipate the need to continue with an ABA contract in the future, but we want to have that placeholder just in the offset. You know, people sometimes want to find a new job, or they move, or they retire, and you know, we have a need for those services, so that placeholder is set aside for there as well. One of the things that we also have a placeholder for under patrol in professional services is temporary sheriff services, and this is to assist the staffing during 4th of July. I think there's another, is there another one?
They used to be first in the summer.
There we go, summertime.
Yep.
So, and then we expect vehicle maintenance and repairs to go down because we did purchase a new vehicle. And fuel costs, and I should have mentioned this with all of the funds, fuel costs are increasing almost weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Right now here, because we're at the mercy of the Murrieta Marketplace, that gas station is $6 a gallon, mm-hmm. and we have no choice but to use them. And so our fuel costs have increased, oh my gosh, horribly. That's the only way that I could state that. And it's just a cost of doing business, unfortunately. You know, our patrol cars are out patrolling everywhere all day, 24/7. You know, as well as our water and sewer vehicles are out there during business hours. They're using fuel as well. And so those costs have risen tremendously. And, you know, so if anybody has any curiosity as far as, you know, the gas costs, I think, you know, for those of us who find cheaper gas stations at $5.29 or $5.40 somewhere else, you know, that's a 60-cent increase on that. And, you know, it really adds up when you're driving those vehicles nonstop and just patrolling the area.
Something I mentioned to Tom that we might want to consider, and I don't know if it means that would be a million times more than we're already paying, but a lot of places that have trucks and cars and all the kinds of things that we have to maintain have their own gas pumps, their mm-hmm. own fuel pumps. And it would be something that you could share between maybe MT. RMA.
Years ago.
Okay.
And it was one of the scariest numbers I've ever seen.
Okay, never mind.
It's really, really bad.
It's
never mind.
Quick comment on that.
Please come on up, Mr. Hart.
Having had my own gas tanks, don't go there.
Yeah.
The liability on it and what they find is mind-boggling. And you'll be hiring people to investigate where it's leaking from for the rest of your life.
No.
I think that's a no vote there.
That works.
Never mind. We don't even have to look into it.
Got it.
It'll save me some time. Thank you. So moving on to the administration allocation. Again, this went down about $62,000 in relation to the general liability being reallocated. Okay. One of the things here to note is that the total expenditures for security is about $2.5 million. Part of this is due to the tax measure election costs, that additional $150,000. You know, we're paying increased benefits. We also have a lot of OPEB costs are in this fund as well. So the amount of retirees that are attributed to each fund dictates the amount of OPEB costs. And the majority are actually in the security. And their costs are increasing as well. So we have the benefits costs that have increased. We have the salaries that have increased. We have retiree costs that are higher than the other funds, in addition to vehicle fuel costs have increased exponentially for this particular fund. At the end of the day, even adding the $588,000 in property tax subsidy to offset the deficit, this fund is projected to be about $223,000 in the hole with that subsidy. And one of the things that, now I will say that these are unaudited beginning balance numbers. If you scroll up, Amelia, please. At the beginning of the current fiscal year, our unaudited, unrestricted reserve account was $328,000. This, at the end of this fiscal year, is projected to be $116,000 because we're projecting to end this fiscal year $210,000, $12,000 in a deficit as well. So that carries over into the 22-23 fiscal year with just shy of $117,000 to be attributed to operating expenses at the end of the fiscal year. So basically, to say this fund needs some help, and we're going to be about $105,000, $106,000 roughly in the overall hole at the end of the next fiscal year.
Okay. Is that it for security?
That is it for security. Anyone have any questions on security?
Travis, I see you've stopped your mathematical numbers. Do you have a number for me?
Yeah, roughly 556 million gallons in 2021.
Wow.
At $6 a gallon?
Excellent. 20. Yeah, sure.
Excellent, thank you.
Ready to go back to the PowerPoint?
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
I got my keys out and...
What did you say that number was? Yeah. What was that number you said?
556.
Fantastic. Next slide, please.
Hooray.
Thank you.
Oh, I got ahead of myself.
There we go. So this is just a budget summary sheet reflecting the 22-23 revenues that we just talked about within each fund. One of the things to note here is drainage and security. These revenues do not include the property tax subsidies. So it shows the revenues for administration in there as a whole for the $817,000. Next slide. This is a little bit of a representation where the money comes from. The bulk of our revenues come from water and wastewater residential. It's about 47% of our overall revenue source. The remainder of them are from commercial, and solid waste charges is pretty high as well. And then the next highest is property taxes. And this is a summary of the expenditures across the fund. The administration costs have not been allocated out to the different funds, so you'll see in totality what the total expenditures for each of the funds. Water, sewer, drainage, solid waste, and security. This is what the actual expenditures would be minus the administration allocation. And then moving on to reserves, just to do a quick recap, we had a discussion on March 28th, which was this past Monday. The study required significant increases to fund future infrastructure projects. Our capital assets are slightly over $31 million in worth, and our current reserve funding is just under 26% for water, 27% for sewer, and 12% for drainage. The board did request 60% funding analysis over 5 years, and based on the conversation that occurred on Monday, the board approved the $11 monthly reserve contributions for water and $10 for sewer for the Prop 218 notices moving forward. So moving on to the sample bill, this is the Rancho Murrieta Association residences, which are the ones behind the gates. As you can see here, there are increases in base charges for water, sewer, and the old rate for water usage went from 0.0217 per 100 cubic feet, which we will correct that, to 0.0247 per 100 cubic feet. Increase in the reserves for water went from $14 to $25 monthly. And for sewer, the reserve contribution went from $14 to $24. Solid waste with the average 64-gallon container went up 14%. We've also included a separate line for that organic waste charge, which residents will start seeing charged the effect of their January 2023 bills. And then security and drainage, their maximum ceiling went up 2%. There you go. Sample bill for Murrieta Gardens 2 in the village. The water is projected to go up 22% overall with the same reserve contribution increases and base rate charges and water usage charges. You know, again, I can't note this enough. This has so much to do with inflation and price elasticity. It's really just a matter of that happy balance of maintaining our existing level of service and trying to keep the rates as low as possible so that we can continue maintaining those existing service levels. Again, organic waste charge won't be seen until January 1st of 2023 and the 2% increase for drainage and security. Um, Vacant or unmetered lots up 2% for security and drainage. No other changes. And then just some highlights about what went into these. So the water is a 20.1%, which includes the monthly reserve charges. The RMA water is going to remain the same. We have a 4% adjustment to the residential base charge. This is to cover the cost of our service levels and our inflationary increased costs in the district. This is basically the base charge is what it takes for us to provide water to their district residents. And we tried to keep that adjustment as low as possible. Wastewater is up 26.6%, which also includes the increase on the monthly reserve charges. And the residential base charges were up 13%. Solid waste is up 28.3%. This is based on the rate sheet provided by California Waste Management, and it also includes the new organics rate. And then drainage and security, again, 2% CPI increase per the special tax. The recommendation is that staff recommend the board approve to mail the Prop 218 notices on April 1st, 2022. And with that, I will leave it open to questions.
Thank you, Paula. That was very in-depth, very insightful. Any other good news for us?
Isn't that enough good news for
yep,
one day?
It is. It is. With that, I'll open it to public comment again after we've seen staff's proposal. Should somebody want to come up and make a comment before we move forward with some of the items the board has to address?
John Sullivan, a developer of record, and number 19 of the villas currently while I'm building my new house. So we have not adjusted the CCF on the projected monthly bill.
I'm sorry, the what?
Cost on the 100 cubic feet.
The metered, the average monthly customer bill that we're projecting to send out.
We caught it. I think she said she was going to correct
the old.
Yes, I did say I was going to correct it.
Yeah.
So what will be the corrected CCF?
The CCF is correct. But they had it listed as cubic feet, as I understood.
I wasn't arguing about the CCF versus
cubic. You want cubic the rate change? You don't want the nomenclature change?
No. In the calculation of, let's just look at the $35.22. That's projected to be a specific number of cubic feet for a month, an average month. And last year we discussed the fact that that number is low, and the district admits that it's low, which means that you're showing the customers a lower bill than the average bill. So what is that number that you're using?
It's the 1426 number. It was based on a 2004 water usage study.
So are we projecting that the district is going to meet its 20 by 2020 responsibilities as the average bill to have a starting point or not?
As close as I looked at it, and I don't have a definitive report on it yet, but we were getting close.
Okay, so you know, we used to have in our monthly board report some additional data that you could go do the averages on.
Yeah.
And we haven't had the continuity through the last couple of years. But the average use, as I had written down from my notes last year, was 1,825, not 1,425. That was based on 450 gallons average per customer across the entire database. So, in theory, 247 ends up being $45 and not $35. So, when we're talking...
That is the end of your 3 minutes, yep. Sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
I think we use... When we take all the water that we sell, residential and commercial, and we use for back flushing and all the other stuff, that we're close to 700 million gallons used. Did you just do the residential?
No, I did everything that comes out of the water plant.
So what we produced?
Yeah.
Is 550?
The actual number is 555,114,261
gallons. So, we used less than 2,000 acre feet last year. We produced less than 2,000 acre feet.
Roughly.
Which is very similar to the year before, which was 1,800. Right. So, from that standpoint, our usage is good because we do have a few more homes. And the only other question I had is I still don't understand how the post-retirement benefits are projected. What we get is what we have to plug in, or what we get is what we are being told it's going to go up to. I don't understand how that works.
Right. Paula?
Yes, I can absolutely explain that. So with the actuarial report, we receive what our unfunded accrued liability is. To explain a little bit about PERS, there is a specific amount of money that we contribute annually to the retirement. And what ends up happening is when someone retires, the district or any other entity that pays into PERS has not paid 100% to cover the cost of that person's retirement. And so what ends up happening is we have the amount that we've already contributed into it, plus their increases on top of that, plus what we have not paid in full. And so we're basically carrying debt with PERS that we're paying off year over year. Plus, we also pay for health benefits costs associated with the retirees, depending on whether they're represented or unrepresented. There's a certain percentage associated with that increases annually as well.
So every year, the number that we have put in there to service our debt isn't enough. When we get to the next year, it seems to keep going away from us.
Correct.
So is the number that's on in our budget the number that we're truly expecting to owe, or will there be a bill that'll come due after the year end that we don't know about?
No, PERS gives us the within the actuarial reports for both PEPRA and Classic retirees and employees. There is the minimum contribution that they expect us to pay, and those are the numbers that we use to budget, and that's what we pay annually. So we pay that in lump sum at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Okay. So we don't get penalized for their bad guess.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it is.
The only other thing I want to bring up again is we don't have a recycle water rate, and we don't have an adjustment to the EDU based on homes that have recycled water capability.
Yeah.
Again, we're supposed to deal with that once a year.
Look, can I test your number for a minute? And I can't do this. I can't get beyond just 550 million gallons. We got 5,903 people living here.
How many?
5,903 on the census.
Okay.
So that's 93,172 annually per person. And again, this is it gets
how
more.
How many gallons?
255. But okay, that doesn't mean anything about hotels and shopping centers.
555,114.
I just did quick math. 550 million divided by 5,903 people per capita per year, 93,172 divided by 365 is 255 gallons per person per capita per day.
Not per person, per resident. How many gallons per day?
93,172, I think is what I get.
93 gallons.
No, that's 90 on a yearly basis. They use 93,000 gallons. Divided by 365 is 255.
And what did we say we have here?
Well, we were supposed to get
2.3 people per house.
Yeah, but and the census number is scary because I think it's got to be wrong. The census is saying 2.8. That's wrong. That's very wrong.
Okay. Well, I don't have a conversion for CCF to gallons per day yet. I mean, it's 750.
Yeah, but
on an average.
Yeah, and we don't have to do it now, but we should talk.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make sure.
Okay.
We're right.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Ms. Sullivan.
Thank you.
Any comments from the general public, sir?
Yeah, I guess I should ask this question.
Your name again, sir?
So I have a Solomon.
Thank you.
How many years have the board been raising the rates? And on an average, what would the rate go up each month?
So let me clarify that question. Rates go up regularly, but are you talking about raising it to put into the reserve accounts like what we're proposing the last 2 years and moving forward, or just rates overall?
My understanding, rates haven't been going up in the way they should have been.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
How many years is that?
Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe we looked back to 2006 and the rate remained stagnant for the reserve contributions at $6.76, I believe, for many, many, many years. I think it started in 2006. There were some years there were no rate increases at all. Some years there were minimal rate increases. I believe 2020 we didn't increase rates. And if there were rate increases themselves, they were very, very minimal.
And so basically, if you take those years, right, and then divide it by what we have, is what we're dealing with, sir, quite honestly.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it is, we would probably be at the number you're asking for anyway.
Well, that I don't know, but I understand what you're saying, and there's that likelihood. I don't know if it's any consolation to anybody, but for all those years they didn't pay any money, and now as we're asking for investment back into our community, we're at this level for the revenue. My quick math, and as long as Gail doesn't hear this, basically if you take the 556 million gallons, take out drainage and security, 1 gallon costs us $91.55. And I can't tell you if that's a bargain, if that's a good deal, if suburban water does it different than that standpoint. But just, again, removing security drainage, leaving the rest of the budget, just dividing it by pure gallons, that's what it costs for us to touch water.
The other question I have is, when fees are levied against somebody for like speeding or turning stop signs, where does that money go?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, so all of that stays in with RMA. Probably the best example I can use is we had an issue with the hydrant, and there were costs associated across almost the entire budget with the exception of drainage. Those revenues, that adjudication, it was district property, district facility. We got reimbursed for our expenditures. But everything else, when we do any type of CCNR enforcement or RMA enforcement, that stays with RMA. And it's not a huge dollar amount that's being collected by RMA either. Does that answer?
No, it does. I just, you know, it's kind of like I'm a fisherman, so I buy a license every year.
Right.
And I know the money that I pay for my license is not going to fisheries.
What? No, sir. Are you sure? Okay. Well, and I do understand we did stock the lake, so hopefully the fishing's better.
Yeah.
We didn't stock the lake.
Yeah, no, they did. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Paula, very good job.
Thank you.
Night and day from last year. The specificity was remarkable. So to that end, that takes us to 4A. The question is, do I have consensus of the board to authorize staff to mail out the Prop 218 notice, proposed water, sewer, solid waste, utility rates, drainage, security, special taxes increase?
I had a question on the presentation.
We passed that. But we can go back.
You never asked.
Oh. A good point.
The in your presentation, you talked about board goals. I was interested to know how these board goals influence the budget. I heard security. I heard solid waste.
Yes.
What else is in there?
Apart, the employee retention, training and retention piece is also in there as well. That's part of the increases in the security staffing salaries. One of the things that Kelly and I, Security Supervisor Benitez and I, have discussed extensively is we want to retain the good people that we have. And when the board allowed us to create those two additional ranges for Gate and Patrol 2, that gave us the ability to leverage our resources a little bit better and keep the existing staff that we have. And so that's one of the things that we're working on is moving those folks up to the appropriate position classification and pay level to retain them. And then additionally, we have training that we've budgeted for that we want to provide for all of our staff and, you know, continue on with our employee morale improvements and engagement and just providing some opportunities for staff to, you know, share a little bit camaraderie and you know, enjoy our time together. That's not just strictly work. So there are those little things that are included in the budget. They're very nominal in expense, but that's part of the board goals as well. And then as far as the water, a lot of that is incorporated within the water fund.
Do we add some monies for each of these subjects or something?
Not specifically. If I could look at Drew's. So the water systems, those are just contained within the operations, the existing operations costs.
But we didn't add something to previous budgets to account for those subjects?
I don't believe so. I don't believe in
don't,
current
I don't
fiscal year.
An additional line item or anything like that, if that's what you're asking?
Yeah.
The only thing that we currently have in the administration fund, which was carried over from last year, is the $35,000 general manager it's kind of a bucket of funds to carry out special projects from board direction throughout the fiscal year, but it's not attributed to one specific board goal. But moving forward, one of the things, and this was a timeliness issue for me, is going through the board goals and attributing specifically how we incorporated those into each fund. They are incorporated into each fund with their respective priorities.
So is there money in there for Laguna Joaquin to treat it again?
Yes.
And I think that was incorporated. I thought we did that in the water systems, Laguna Joaquin, CIA Ditch, Grand Lease. Now, and some of that, again, was the funding received.
From SB 170.
Right. And then the others, what we allocated.
And we'll talk more about the water goals when we get into the CIP discussions in May. A lot of the water stuff that the board has identified as a priority will be more discussed in depth at that time.
Another question I had was staffing.
Yes.
We changed staffing from last year.
The only
I know we did a bunch a few months ago, but other than that, did we add anything?
We did not add any new staffing requests for the next fiscal year. There is some discussion on some additional positions, but at this point in time, because of the impact of the rate increases, we did not want to add any additional burden onto the residents. So that's a conversation to table for a later date.
Good. Thank you.
All right. I was going to open it up to the board for questions.
Oh, you were?
Okay. Yeah. Martin, any questions?
I think I took care of it.
Okay. Director Janko.
No, I got my questions answered along the way.
Director Butler?
Me too. No more questions.
I wanted to say that I don't know how many of these I have seen. This is the best one I have ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I mean,
my pleasure.
The thoroughness of mm-hmm. what you presented in the professional way that you presented it was astounding. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm going to make a motion, Amelia, for 4B.
Thank you.
The motion is to authorize staff to mail out the Prop 218 notice. It'll be corrected with the changes that Director Merchant and myself had on there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have notes everywhere.
Yep. With that, that's my motion. Can I have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Director Merchant. Roll call vote. Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
For everyone's edification, or education, I should say, the actual budget hearing process and please bear with the board. It is a very stringent process because we are government and we're here to help that we have to go through. And so the next scheduled budget hearing is going to be May 18th, 2022, and it will be heard after 5 p.m. The regular board meeting starts at 4 p.m. So once we get through the monthly items that the board does, starting at 4 o'clock, that's when we'll open up discussion at the 5 o'clock hour. It'll be agendized. I just want everyone to know that's our next course of action as far as how this process, and again, please understand, it is a very strict, rigid process that we have to follow. And I'm not complaining, it's just, it's the government. With that, moving on to item number 5, board, any comments, suggestions?
I just wanted to thank Paula again for doing the job that she did, which is just amazing.
Thank you.
So, other than that, no?
I thank Paula, but she's getting a big head. No. I don't think she should get overconfident.
Director Merchant.
I'm adding some of these things up on the fly. We're running an $8.6 million ship here now, but $1.6 million of it is allocated to security.
Mm-hmm.
That's 18% of what we, and because, you know, we're collecting what we spend, that's fine. And in front of the security questionnaire, which is fast approaching, and will facilitate a really serious community discussion, let's understand that security is fully funded. And we are funding it with a property tax allocation that now is in excess of $500,000. Over and above the money we collect in the security tax. There would be plenty of opportunities going forward based on where we go with the security process to use that money to fund capital intensive reserves. I took those 10 districts that surround us, you know, and this is all on our website, and drew a map on who had what customers and what, you know, where they were in the county. There is no comparison with security because there is nobody that does it. but us.
No other state is doing
this. You know, you look down through the state of California, it's hard to find cops, but you're certainly not going to find them inside Sacramento County, which is the only real effective way that we can compare our rates. And when you take the security part of that out of that equation, and you plug in the parts that are county supported for the places like Elk Grove and Citrus Heights and Orangevale and all of them, and you see that from an infrastructure standpoint, we our rates are pretty good considering what we have to do here to deliver the product to your bathtub. And, you know, I don't know how we deliver that message any more clearly, and maybe we have not done as well as we should. But it's we are considering where we are, you know, miles and miles, 7.2 miles exactly, outside of the urban services boundary, which requires us to essentially build a city-like structure and a county-supported structure that supports 2,650 people. San Juan has 159,000 customers, okay? And interestingly enough, and Tim and I discussed this in May, I don't know whether it was public or private, but
it appears it's going to be public.
Now it's public. Now, you know, we are, you know, we are relatively debt-free. We have some debt. The principal debt we have is money that we borrowed from ourselves. Maybe that was a good decision. Maybe it wasn't when money was really cheap. It depleted our reserves, and we used that to fund our contribution to the water plant, which now is costing each resident $6 a month. But what becomes evident when you start working your way through these other districts, and Randy asked as part of that comparison, well, what do those guys do for reserves? They don't. San Juan has 3 active bonds. They borrow money. Okay, so it's a different philosophy. And coupled with the philosophy that we had here that was ongoing between 2006 and 2016, where we weren't raising rates, we're now at the point where we really don't have any other choice. If you want one, the one giveaway on the questionnaire is what's the most important thing to the people in this community, overwhelmingly here and at RMA, is maintaining an adequate and quality water supply. If you want to do that, it's going to cost money. And right now, we're dividing it by 2650. Pretty soon, we're going to be dividing it by 3,000, and that will help. But it is what it is. You know, I don't wake up in the morning, neither do any of these other folks, thinking, geez, I wonder what I can do to increase my CSD bill. You know? So I'm sorry that took so long, but we've been working on this for a long time, and we knew it was coming for a long time, and we've been telling people it's been coming, and now it's here. Sorry about
Tim.
That.
No, thank you. Director Janko.
So a couple of comments triggered something with me. Danny said, Danny talked about it led me to the time value of money, and then another comment about where we would probably be in the same place anyways. I don't believe that's correct. No, Danny said in the overall, in over time, this is going to make it better and probably less expensive. I agree with that due to the time value of money. And it brings up another thing that I've been working on, a project that someone said the other day, well, if you had started this 8 or 10 years ago, putting money away, today you'd have enough money to build the project that everybody in the community wants. What we're doing here is backfilling for what should have happened 6, 8, 10 years ago. People should have recognized that this problem existed. And I believe that if we had been putting away that money today, we would not have to do 5 years of $21 increases to catch up and backfill that. We would be in a better position to make the increases that we need, and they wouldn't be so drastic. But all of that is, so to speak, water under the bridge. And there's nothing that this board can do with it except look forward and do what we have to do to get this district back on solid financial footing.
Thank you. A note I have, Randy, because they're going to be updating the CIP projects, I assume it'll be through finance and improvements?
Correct.
Process. Okay, just so that improvements gets in there and prioritized. Again, folks, I would love to see 1,000 more people here at every board meeting, but at the end of the day, I understand you're going to have dinner, and we don't want to ruin your stomach and your appetite. So, but this is government at work. And so to that end, the only thing I can say is, and I've said it before, I would not rely on social media. What I would encourage you to do is, if you have questions like you have, sir, and others, either reach out to the board members or reach out to staff. Mm-hmm. Because if you haven't heard it from staff or a board member, then it's probably not going to be true to form or accurate. And again, once this gets published with Gail, once you receive these letters in the mail, there'll be more interest, there'll be more conversation. With that, it's going to generate a whole bunch of the vile social media, and it is what it is, and we're elected, and it rests with the board. But to that end,
thank you,
staff, thank you. It's where we have to go. So with that, item number six, I make a motion for adjournment.
I got one comment. You passed me over again.
Are you a board member? I'm sorry. You were Director Martin. I'm sorry.
I too compliment Paula for her presentation. I thought it was very good. The only thing I'd ask is, in the future, you give us more time to look at it ahead
yes.
of time.
and Martin, that is a great point. The GM and I have had that conversation. Taking some job description items off of Paula's plate. Remember, she was doing payroll, accounts, all those. So the expectation moving forward is this is going to be probably number one, if not equal to HR and those things. So we have had that discussion. So thank you. And I apologize for skipping you, sir.
Okay.
Moving on to item number six,
I
make motion
can I say one quick thing?
I'm trying, Amelia. I am trying.
Sorry. I just wanted to say thank you to the board. You know, I appreciate your attentiveness to this presentation. You know, obviously, there's a lot to stomach with the rate setting and the increases, and I know it's not an easy decision to make, so I want to thank all of you for asking those tough questions and making those tough decisions, because it really is it's a difficult conversation to have, and so, you know, we want to make sure we're doing right by the district, but also doing right by the residents, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
Okay.
You got it. Thank you. Any other comments from the board? Moving on to item six, I make a motion for adjournment.
I second.
Thank you, Director Butler. We'll call the Director Mandy.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Paul?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.